Turn to Romans chapter 8. Yeah, it's on, Paul. Romans chapter 8. I will read from verse 28 to the end of that chapter. Romans chapter 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, that is the Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. That is Romans 8, verses 28 through 39. My title for this message, it's certainly not a catchy title. I have noticed by looking online, especially like YouTube, if Paul or Joe or myself has a title that's kind of interesting, we always get more hits. A title that's more mundane, usually, not always, but usually there's far less hits. But I do have a title. Now, there are many things I could have titled this message, but here my title is a question, and I want to deal with it in this way. And I give this not to be condescending, but just so Paul will know exactly how to write this out. Who are thee, put a comma, Paul, who are thee, we know that. Who are they? Who are they? Now this message that I am persuaded that God has given me to give you this morning could be preached to every son and daughter of Adam that has lived or will ever live upon the face of this earth. This message can be preached to every single one of them. But my context, my text, these verses are not for everyone. Yeah, that's right. They do not concern everyone.
That's right.
But they concern that predestinated, elected, loved, special people of God upon the face of the earth.
Yes, sir.
Paul says, and we know. Most people do not know this.
You're right.
And I'll give you an illustration. Most preachers do not know. They do not know. For they convulse, even worse, they vomit forth to the masses indiscriminately when they read this verse, God has a wonderful plan for your life.
Oh, yeah.
And it is a lie straight from the pits of hell.
You're right.
Because this passage, especially verses 28 through 39, are not for the masses indiscriminately.
You're right.
They are not. And we know, Paul says. We, I keep emphasizing that. And we know. Who is this we? Now our minds, especially being doctrinally oriented, and that's okay, as long as we are not doctrinally oriented only. Our minds then will run immediately to the context and the immediate text and talk about being foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, and glorified. And certainly that is true doctrinally. But who is we and we? It is those who are obedient to the faith and called of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Unless you are obedient to the faith, have been called of Jesus Christ, you got no reason to believe these blessings apply to you.
Exactly.
Even though they may.
That's right.
But you have no reason to believe nor right to think they apply to you unless you are one of the called of Jesus Christ, one who has been bound to be obedient to the faith. This we are those who are Jews inwardly by heart circumcision.
Yes,
Paul
sir.
Makes this clear in chapter 2, verse 29.
Yes, sir.
Unless God Almighty has done a work in here,
yeah.
In here, that then begins to flow in some way out here, and it does.
Oh, yeah.
Because if he ever does a work in here, it will come out on you, as Earl used to say.
Exactly.
But God must do a work in here. We don't do a work for God, then he does a work in here. That's what religion teaches. You believe, or you believe and repent, or you believe and repent and be baptized. Whatever the list is, then God will give you grace. That is a lie. God must circumcise a man or a woman in the heart first and foremost. And unless you have been born of God, and thus you will be one who confesses that Jesus is the Christ, you got no reason to believe or no right to think this passage applies to you. God may not have a wonderful plan for your life. But let's go even further. Paul didn't stop there. This we are those who believe Christ and his faithfulness. They rest on his faithfulness. Chapter 3, verse 22. Let's go even further. This we are those who are justified by faith. Chapter 5, verse 1. There are those who are dead to sin, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. There's a lot of people in this world that are very much alive unto free sovereign grace, but are very much still alive unto sin. And let me tell you something. As long as you're alive unto sin, you got no reason to believe or to think this blessing, these blessings apply to you. Somebody says, what does it mean to be dead to sin? I done covered that. Go back and look at that. I'm not going to spend time at that. It is those who are justified by faith, those who are dead to sin. It's those who are dead to the law by the body of Christ. Chapter 7, verse 4.
Yes, sir.
You cannot be married to two husbands at one time. You either married to Jesus Christ, dead to the law, or you're married to the law and under condemnation. It's one or the other.
Yes, sir.
And unless you're dead to the law by the body of Christ, you got no reason to believe or to think or have the right to think these blessings apply to you or to me. Or to me. But let's go even further. And there's more than what I'm going to give you here. But let's go even further. It is those who confess their wretchedness. Chapter 7, verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. If you ever get over that, you've went too far.
Yeah. Right.
It may seem like a good place to come to, but it is not. Not in this life.
You're right.
In the world to come, we'll be able to put down and be done away with, oh, wretched man that I am. But until we take our last breath, we must still always confess, oh, wretched man that I am. That's the we who know.
That's it.
That's the we who know. But it's even more than that. It is to those that love God. Now we're right up to our immediate context.
Yes, sir.
God has a wonderful plan for your life if you love him.
Amen.
I'll say that's okay if you love him. But that wonderful plan may not seem so wonderful when the plan begins to hit home.
Right.
Yeah. It's to them that love God. But let me say this, because of the preponderant testimony of Scripture, they love God for who God really is.
Amen. Yes, sir.
They don't love God as they imagine God. That is useless. As a matter of fact, it's worse than useless. It'll take you to hell.
That's right.
You don't pick and choose what you want to believe about God. All that this book says about who God is, you either bow to it and believe it, or you believe none of it.
Amen.
You believe none of it. There are those who love God. They love him as he is revealed in this book. But it's even more. It is those who are the called according to his purpose. We know.
Amen.
These kind of people know. You see it? We know. We know this because, why? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Somebody says, I don't like predestination. Then you hate being like Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Because you can't have conformity to his person unless you have predestination unto it.
Exactly.
Mm-mm, it don't happen. Well, I don't like all that stuff. It's because you don't want to be like Jesus Christ.
That's it.
And people accuse us. You believe people are predestinated to heaven or to hell. No, we don't. Now, I may have said that in the past, but I was wrong if I did. We're not predestinated to heaven or to hell. You're either predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, or God will leave you like you are in your sins, and you will perish justly under the condemnation of God.
That's it.
That's what this book teaches.
That's what it says.
Now, let me just give you three things. We know this. For, you know what he says? For, because God entered into intimate union with us before we ever entered into any kind of union with him. God foreknew us.
Amen.
God had a relationship with us.
Yes, sir.
Before we ever even thought of having a relationship with him.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, I could take it even further, God entered into an intimate union with us before we ever even existed.
Amen. That's right.
I'll say even more, God entered into an intimate union with these people, these we, in spite of what God knew they would be in the fall of Adam.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
God foreknew these people.
Amen.
God foreknew us, if I'm one of these we. God foreknew me. Foreknew me. And he foreknew you and you. If he ever knew you at all, he foreknew you.
Exactly.
He knew you before you ever knew him. It is that simple.
Yes, sir.
And yet that profound at the same time. Number two, we know this because God predestinated us to be like Christ. Even though we are most unlike Christ.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. God predestinated us to be like Christ, even though we were most unlike Christ. He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of God's blessed Son in order that God might have a people. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he, that is the Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Amen.
Now this number is few when compared to the whole of humanity.
Yeah.
Christ talks about many entered into the broad way.
Yep.
Few finding the straight and narrow way, correct?
So
those that are on the straight and narrow are certainly less in number than those that are on the Broadway, correct?
Exactly. That's right.
But still yet that few is a number which no man can number.
Amen.
Out of every kindred, tribe, people, tongue, nation. And if I didn't quote that correctly right, forgive me, but you know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
God's going to save at least one out of every different kind of person there is on the face of this earth.
Yes, sir.
At least one. And Mac is probably a whole lot more than just one.
You're right.
It is, as I said, a number which no man can number. We know this, that is, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, because all that God predestinated in his eternal purpose, he called them all. He justified them all. Amen. And he glorified everyone that he justified.
Amen.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, not tried to, hoped to, wished to, did.
Amen.
Did. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called.
Yes.
And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified.
Amen.
What is our response to be to all this? Thank God for the person of his Son.
Amen.
Listen now. Foreknowledge, predestination, calling, justification and glorification. Glorification wouldn't mean spit, apart from the person and work of Jesus Christ. God is holy. And these wretched, miserable creatures that we are, God could have no foreknowledge of us apart from it being in the person of his Son. That's why he chose us in Christ and not in ourselves. And yet religion says, well, I believe in election. God looked down into heaven, or looked down from heaven and looked at me and seen what I would do. Hogwash.
Exactly.
He chose us in Christ, not in ourselves. He chose us in Christ, not in our actions. He chose us in Christ, not even in our faith. He gave us the faith with which we believe Christ.
Amen.
That's what our response is. Thank God for the person of his Son. For his Son wrought a work which assured the blessing of all of these we.
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't care if it's good English or not. It's good doctrine.
That's it.
Look, what shall we then say to these things? I know what the world says. I don't believe that. Well, then you're in trouble. I feel for you. I really do. I wish I could convince you different, but I can't. God's got to do that work down here first. Before anything I say will be of any value to you whatsoever.
Right.
What shall we then say to these things? Here's what we say. If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
But this is not just some fiat. God says, I'm for you. He that spared not his own Son.
That's right.
Do you see that? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for every one of these we. For us all. You see it? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Well, a man needs faith. God will give it to him if he's one of these we.
Amen.
Well, a man needs repentance. God will give it to him if he's one of these we.
Amen.
Well, man needs to join with God's people. And he and she or she does. Right, you're not an island. Mm-mm. They will, if they're one of these we. Well, a man needs to give to the ministry of the gospel. They will, if they're one of these thee, because God will put it in their heart to give hilariously. Because I say to this small group, you give hilariously. But if you start giving and you start giving begrudgingly, keep it in your pocket. And I'll put this right on TV. Go buy cigarettes with it.
Yeah.
It'll give you a better high than giving to God's gospel grudgingly. Hmm? Well, that's enough for my meddling for this morning. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? There's plenty for us to be charged with.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm? There's plenty for us to be charged with. Let us not kid her. Well, I used to be this when I was a rounder. You're still a rounder.
Yeah.
And apart from the grace of God, you'd be still living like a rounder.
Exactly.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Why is it that no one can lay anything to guard the charge of God's elect? Because our sin don't really exist? Mm-mm. It really exists. It is God that justifies.
Amen. Amen.
If God is justifying me, then get off my back.
Exactly.
If I'm one of these we.
That's right.
If I'm one of these we.
Yeah.
And we know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, pretty good. It's pretty good so far, ain't it?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Pretty good so far. And we know. Now, we'll get to that. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So Christ intercedes for all for whom he died.
Amen. That's it.
Now let the religionist really swallow that one down and deal with it. Either Jesus Christ was and is still yet today a miserable failure, or he accomplished exactly what God the Father sent him to do, and he's there in glory. He is there in glory interceding to see that everything in God's sovereign will is carried out to its 10th degree.
Yes, sir.
But let me say, and we know, and I mentioned this to you, I think it was last week, it does not say, and we know how all things work together, because we don't. But Paul also does not say, and we always know. He just says we know.
We know.
Yeah. Because sometimes we forget.
You're right.
To know that all things work together for good is one thing. To know and murmur and complain about anything.
You're right.
About anything. Is unbelief.
Exactly.
Now you know the story, most of you here at least know the story of William Cowper. He had severe clinical depression, bad. Was put in mental institutions on more than one occasion. And I am told that the occasion for which he wrote this song, God Moves in a Mysterious Way, was after an attempted suicide. That's right, William Cowper.
Yeah.
A believer, a wee, as far as I can see, a wee. And you know the story, but I'll give it for some in case they don't know. He was planning on killing himself. And he called his driver to bring the buggy around to take him to the edge of a cliff where he could throw himself off the cliff into the water. And it was such a miserable, rainy, cloudy night that the rain was pouring and the fog had set in. His driver takes him to the place. I don't know whether the driver knew what he was going to do or not. But William Cowper knew what he was going to do. And that driver was driving and driving and driving. And finally he stopped. And I'm sure old Cowper thought, well, here it is. It's time to do the deal. But the weather was so bad that the driver got lost, turned around, come right back to the house, and let William Cowper out right back at the house. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace behind a frowning providence. God has not always promised skies always blue.
Exactly.
When we murmur against that, when we have, as Earl used to say, our little pity party for self, crawl up in the corner like poor pussy and want somebody to pet me. Get off our pity parties. Get off our murmuring. That's the one thing that caused carcasses to fall in the wilderness.
Yes, sir.
Was the murmuring of unbelief. I got to say this. Say it like it is what it is. When Moses was on that mountain receiving those 10 commandments written by the finger of God in two tables of stone. I mean, the finger, who could that be but Jesus Christ?
Exactly.
He alone had a finger.
Yeah.
But he writes those laws out on two tablets with his own finger. And you remember what Moses' people was doing at the bottom of that mount?
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of them were dancing around naked around a golden calf and doing all kinds of things that I can't mention in mixed company.
Yeah.
And God didn't damn them all for that, did he? But when just a few months later they parked at the entrance to Canaan,
yeah.
God sent the spies in. And those 12 spies came back, and 10 of them said, we can't do it. This is too much for us. They were right.
Yeah.
But it was unbelief, because it's not about us being able to handle it. It's about God being able to handle it.
Amen.
We know we're called according to his purpose.
Yeah. Exactly.
And they bellyached and they murmured. And two men said, we can take it.
Yes, sir.
God's give it to us. But the people were ready to kill the messengers.
Yes, sir.
Stone them to death. That's what our, your, my murmuring does. That's what it does.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm not telling you we better never murmur again, because we will.
Yeah,
unless God kills me in the next couple seconds, I will. But, oh God, show it to me as quick as possible.
Yeah.
Turn me from it as quick as possible.
Yes, sir.
Ease my heart and mind with knowing this. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his works in vain, and it always does.
Exactly.
God is his own interpreter. He'll make it plain.
Amen.
He'll make it plain. Christ did all of this because he loves us.
Amen.
You see that? He did all that he did. He's doing what he's doing in glory now. What is that? Interceding for us. And I don't know what all that even means. I really don't. I really don't. I just believe God for it.
Amen.
You know? I just believe God for it. But then Paul goes on and says this, doesn't he? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He loved me enough to confine himself to human flesh forever. The eternal God in the person of the Son has confined himself to humanity, a real bona fide man with flesh and bone forever.
Yeah.
Because he loved us. Mm-hmm. And he came and he died for us. Yeah. And he was buried and he rose again, victorious, is seated at the right hand of God the Father, expecting till his enemies become his footstool. You think he's not going to continue to take care of you? He called you out of darkness in the light.
Amen.
We hang our heads down. Oh, poor me. Don't we? Don't we? Christ did all of this because he loves us. I'll read it, but let me just state it brief. No circumstance, no entity, no condition. Nothing past, present, or future, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Nothing. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. No. And our Lord said, in this world ye, we're probably going to have some tribulation. Is that what he said? No, you shall. Expect it, because God ordained it. It's good for us. All things work together for good.
Amen.
He doesn't say it's good. And we always feel good about it. No, we don't always feel good. But we do know that. When we don't murmur and complain in unbelief. Huh? When we don't murmur and complain. You remember even Moses. They struck the rock once. God said, speak to the rock. Moses got ticked off with the people. And I can understand that. I can. So he whacks it again. God said, you won't enter the land.
Amen.
Isn't that what happened?
Yeah.
God's holy, folks. But he still loved Moses.
Yes, sir.
And he still loves us.
Yes, sir.
I'm not even going to say, oh, yes, I will say it. Well, you're giving people a license to sin. They don't need a license to sin. We sin. We drink up iniquity like a thirsty man drinks water. A man don't have to have a license to sin. I'm tired of all of those religious cliches that are full of bunk.
Yeah.
You're right.
Bunk. What does he say? Tribulation or distress or persecution or famine. We're going to eat here, God willing, in just a little bit. And folks, we're still eating the same meal we was eating on Thursday. There were some folks that probably didn't even have anything to eat on Thursday.
Right? Right.
Right? Some of them probably never had a Thanksgiving Day meal. I've done eat one about three times this week so far. And ready to engage in another one. God has so blessed us. And that's just food. And then we turn around and we pour pity me. so-and-so didn't treat me well. Well, you don't deserve to be treated well.
Exactly.
Don't we understand? When are we going to get that through our thick skulls? The only reason we treat one another well is because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that's given unto us. We don't deserve it. We do it because Christ deserves us to do that toward one another. Persecution, famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake. Whose sake do you think that is? Go back and read the prophet. God's sake. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted. Who does this accounting? It ain't the world. The world don't count you as a sheep.
That's right.
The world counts you as a bug. Like that bug that flew, like these flies flying around that Joe's ready to crush you into oblivion, like you would, like you'd want to do a good free willer. Just crush them into nothing. But it ain't in my hands to do that. That's God's business.
Yes, sir.
There must be heresies among us that those that are approved may be made manifest.
Exactly.
Who accounts us as sheep for the slaughter? The shepherd. We're his sheep.
Yeah.
And what does a shepherd do with his sheep?
Sure.
Does he keep them just for wool? For food. That's the illustration. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, this is an amazing... in all these things. And I remember seeing this years ago. I wish to God I could remember it every moment of the day.
Amen.
It's not through all these, or after all these things. It's in. In.
That's right.
While you are still in them.
Yeah.
You see that? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors.
Amen.
That's big language. Is it not?
Sure.
That's big language. But now we're shown how it's true. Through him that loved us. You see? You and I are not personally the conquerors. We are conquerors through him that loved us. Nothing can touch you in this world but what our great shepherd said. This will be for their good. Bring it on. That's right. That's right. Satan hath desired thee, Christ said to Peter. Who did he desire it from? Another devil? Who's in control of all things? God Almighty.
Amen.
Satan hath desired thee that he may sift thee as wheat. And Christ didn't say this, but God said, all right, sift him.
Yeah.
Sift him. Because Satan couldn't touch him unless God gave him say-so. Now, could he?
That's right.
Could he? We know that's the testimony of this book.
Yes, sir.
But Christ said, but Peter, I've prayed for you.
Amen.
That your faith fail not.
Amen.
Now, I've often said this, but not because Christ said it, but because it's a fact. Peter failed miserably.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he regretted it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure every time he thought about it in the years or months or years to come, he just, this feeling of guilt probably overwhelmed him back.
Oh, yeah.
But Christ had prayed for him that his faith fell not, and bless God, it didn't. His actions did, but his faith did not. He still knew he was the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
The only thing that keeps you and I going is that same intercession by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Right.
I know he's still there praying for me that my faith fail not, because if he's not, it will fail.
Yeah.
It will fail. I'm glad I got somebody on my side.
Yeah.
Don't you?
There you go.
And remember who the one on our side is.
Yeah.
He's the judge.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I've done this for you before. He's the judge.
That's right.
But he's not going to sweep it under the rug. The judge is the one who satisfied the very depth of my sin.
Amen.
When he hung between heaven and earth.
Exactly.
My murmurings, he paid the debt for it.
Amen.
My complaints, he settled it before the Father. And that doesn't make me want to complain more. It makes me want to complain less.
Exactly.
Because I know that's not conformity to his Son. Because his Son committed himself to him that judgeth righteously.
Amen.
Was even silent before his shearers, like a sheep is, right? He was accounted as a sheep for the slaughter, was he not?
Yes, sir.
Nothing wrong with being like him, is it? Oh, wait a minute. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Huh?
That's right.
If they've hated me, Christ said, they're going to hate you. Mm-hmm. Now, the only reason they wouldn't is because I try to keep it, my relationship to him, under wraps.
There you go.
Hmm? Yeah, we can get along with the world as long as we just don't say anything.
There you go.
You don't even have to do nothing great. Just start telling people who God really is and see what happens.
You're right.
I got to move on. Got to move on. Here he says, for I am persuaded that neither death, to me that ought to be a given. If you're one of these we and you die,
that's
God settling the whole thing forever.
Amen.
You're done with it.
Yes, sir.
You're done with it. Mm-hmm. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
I have to try by God's grace to constantly remind myself, am I a we? Am I really a we? Well, I don't like thinking that way. You best keep thinking that way. Don't become so presumptuous that you think you've got this thing all settled out. Because God will real quickly show you again what you really are. He will. Am I a we? Remember who the we are now. Remember how I told you. And you can't pick and choose a couple things. You know. Well, I love God like he is. Hmm? Are you dead to sin? Are you dead to the law? Do you still cry out your miserable, wretched state? Hmm? One or two possibilities don't cut it. When I see myself in a couple places, you're in trouble. You better see yourself in all these places. Hmm? You better see yourself in chapter 3. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, no, not one. I don't even know what I ought to do tomorrow other than just go to work like I always have for the past 20, 30, 40 some years and Jack just do the same thing over and over and over and over again until God kills me. That's about all I know what I really got to do. Now there's a lot of things that need to be done, but I don't know what they are yet. I don't know what they are yet. But a weak we, as well as a strong we, is blessed.
Yeah.
Now you hear what I just said? A weak, there's some of us we's, we're weak. Some of us we's are strong.
Right.
I don't see myself as a Joshua. I mean, I really don't. I don't even see myself as a King David, except in a couple things, and those are not positive things.
Yeah.
But I've seen in my brother David. But a weak we, as well as a strong we, is blessed. If we are a we are a we when we falter as well as when we're dutiful. Now, it's a little convoluted, but that's what a we. I want you to know. It's being a we.
Yes, sir.
You got to be a we. If we are a we are a we when we falter just as well and as much as when we are dutiful.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Somebody said, but what about seeing? Quit. Christ dealt with that.
Yes, sir.
He condemned sin in his flesh.
Yes,
suffered the payment for it.
Yes.
God is satisfied.
Amen.
Oh, just to be a we. You know, just to be a we. And then God, you make me whatever we you need me to be. Hmm? Christ loves the we's immutably, infallibly, absolutely, and in every single circumstance. Because he's the one that has put us there and will sustain us there, even if he kills us while he's doing it.
Yes, sir.
Hmm?
That's it.
Heavenly Father, give us fellowship hereafter, and even to socialize some, Lord, but, oh God, help us never to lose sight of Christ. We know we look away far too many times, but Lord, cause our eyes and hearts and minds to always be turned back to Him and Him alone. Lord, we thank You for this food. You're so bountiful to us. You've given us an easy life compared to many things. Bless us in Christ's name. Amen.